Thank you. stand by. Today's call will begin at 5 past the top of the hour. Please stand by. Good morning, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If you've muted your own line, please unmute your phone, as your lines were automatically muted when you joined today's call. After today's presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, please press star one. And today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. One moment, please. Okay, then I'd like to turn the meeting over to Rick Weinberg. Sir, you may begin.
Thanks, Tim. Hi, everyone. For those of you who haven't met, again, my name is Rick Weinberg. I work in product management for Tivoli Security, and I'm very excited to be talking with you today about some new role management capabilities that we've introduced over the last couple weeks that really expand upon our strong capabilities that exist that we introduced in TIM 5.1. And apologies for the mishap. I know we tried to do this a little over a week ago, and there were some issues with the numbers, so appreciate your flexibility in attending again. So today, I just a couple of housekeeping items. There's been some minor changes in the deck, just want to make a few edits, so make sure that you have, for the internal IBMers on the call, that you've uploaded the latest version on the internal site. For any business partners on the call, I believe we weren't able to get it updated to Partner World in time, but they will be posted afterwards. But mind you, majority of the message is still the same, so just listen, and we'll take it from there. Going on to slide two, before we dive into the details of these new capabilities that we've introduced, we want to just give you a little bit more context, again, around our identity and access management governance strategy. Make sure that you understand it, and make sure that as we talk to customers about this, we really enforce this broader message that where role management is just one piece, and certainly believe that we have a lot to offer here across this entire space. Then I'll go into the details around the role modeling and role management assistance. I'll talk to you a little bit more about the packaging, entitlement, and about how we partner from here, and then talk a little bit roadmap before we'll open it up for questions. So let's go ahead and get started. Going on to slide three, just again to set context, as I'm sure you all know, we have three security solutions that we go to market with in Tivoli. In particular, this will focus and drill down into our identity and access assurance solution set, where we now not only have our existing identity access management portfolio, but incorporate our security information event management as a bundled component within the solution set. Of course, you're familiar with our data and application security, including encryption key lifecycle management, as well as some substantial data and application security capabilities around our entitlement management solution set. And then finally, of course, security management for System Z as we look to have customers leverage the mainframe to manage their overall enterprise security environment. And going on to slide four, some of you may have seen this slide before, but I think it's just, as we talk to customers, it's important that we, go to them and recognize, look, as we see the market itself, the drivers around identity and access assurance have really remained consistent. Compliance continues to be a major driver, in particularly in today's economic environment, cost reduction often through automation of manual processes. And finally, security itself, whether it be internal or external, are really the key drivers for why our customers are purchasing these solutions today. Not a surprise there, I know. But, as you go on to slide five, I think what we recognize is that some customers are still experiencing pain with some of the solutions out there. Now, this isn't an IBM statement. This is a market statement. So, when you look in the user provisioning market, certainly there's tremendous value offered there in terms of the automation of user access rights, of assigning those access rights. But I think as the number of users increase and as the number of targets that customers are looking to automate through provisioning increase, it can become very complex. And so there's certainly things like role management and entitlement management that really can help deliver an abstraction and manage, this visibility of the improvement administration itself for their companies. Now, on the web access management side, certainly have a number of customers getting value from our web single sign-on capabilities, as well as whether it be desktop or, even federated. But I think what they're starting to recognize is they look to get more value around the access control policy itself and after you've authenticated but authorized them, making sure that you can provide more business context. More customers are seeking to have some sort of business condition so that, you know, if we don't, a customer doesn't have to reveal, say, you know, their customer's address information or sensitive information in the process to make sure that they only provide the information they may need to know. You know, certainly we see that organizations have really improved on their user access controls, but what we're also seeing is that their administrative controls aren't as strong. And frankly, privileged identity management, helping manage those processes around how customers are using shared IDs, those non-personal accounts, is something that offers a tremendous amount of value. Also on the governance side, you know, certainly see that as security becomes more exposed to the business, and we recognize how, you know, separation of duty policies can really add value about business to manage that user access conflict that might present itself, you know, for our customers as they look to deliver security controls across their business processes. In addition to that, compliance, again, being a major driver, there needs to be a process in place that customers have to ensure there's an ongoing validation of whether user access is still needed. But it's more than just validating that user access is needed, but making sure that there's automated removal of access if that access is determined no longer needed. Of course, we've talked about this on in terms of the identity access assurance piece, but we really see how security information and event management is something more and more customers are asking for. You know, log collection is good, but they want something a little bit more integrated so you can suspend access if some abnormal activity has been detected. You know, but I think overall what we're really seeing evolve in this particular space is that there's a desire for more of a policy-based governance approach on our customers' existing identity and access management infrastructure. You know, but there's frankly a lot of market fragmentation out there, and that makes it difficult. This is something, obviously, as you'll see here, that we're going to be trying to rectify. So going on to slide 6, I think, you know, this gives you a quick example of how some of these pieces pull together to deliver identity and access management governance that really acts as a conduit between the business and the IT. Certainly, I think we're all familiar with the use of role management, being able to assign users to business roles, which tend to be collections of users, as well as assigning them to collections of application roles, which tend to be collections of permissions, and connecting those together so that when those users are assigned that access, that they can be given you know, access to their application is managed and governed by those roles. Now, what we recognize, though, is that a lot of the role management solutions that exist out there in the market today often associate an entitlement as group membership on an application. And there's value there, but what they're assuming is that native access control policy on the application itself is being properly administered and properly enforced. And so we start to see this convergence with fine-grained entitlement management, where customers are really looking to externalize that authorization from the application, have that centrally administered and centrally enforced. And so when role management and entitlement management come together, you really offer customers the ability to deliver end-to-end identity and access management governance and have accountability that does not exist on the market today. And so, you know, I think that's really important to differentiate as we talk to our customers and what our capabilities in terms of, you know, role management and entitlement management. Now, certainly we talked about privileged identity management. You know, there's going to be tremendous value there, not only at the administrative side, which I talked about managing those non-personal accounts, but also, you know, for instances where they may not be using shared IDs, to define more access control itself around the operating systems, or even, you know, in user activity monitoring of those privileged users. And of course, separation of duties and access certification, you know, again, add to some governance capabilities that, when together, as you go on to slide 7, really form this identity and access management governance layer. We see these 5 different areas, as you can see in the blue box circles there, really converging over time. I mean, while they're independent niches today, some are integrated better than others, really over time we see these converging and acting as that IAM governance layer on the existing identity and access management infrastructure. Of course, when you pull in the security information and event management, together that, along with the IAM governance, forms the evolution of identity and access management into identity and access assurance. And frankly, the value here is really going to be delivering this through policy. You know, there's a tremendous buzz around role management in the marketplace today, and there's value there. But don't get caught up in it. I think roles are just an object in a policy, right? It's about making sure that there's separation of duty policies that can be associated with those roles to prevent conflict, that there can be entitlement management policies stipulating fine-grained access control that also can be associated with those roles in a policy format. So it's bigger than that, and I think, you know, that's something that as we go and educate our customers, they should be aware of. Going on to slide 8, so from an IBM perspective, as we look at our strategy and vision in this space, certainly we see this, you know, connected in sort of, you know, a diamond shape, as you can see here. Up top, you have this notion of policy and role modeling. And really what this acts as is really the business conduit between, so that IT can ultimately translate the user access requirements that are tied to the business processes and make sure that those get, put in a policy and role structure that is engineered, modeled, and simulated, and then released into production. And of course, as the business changes over time, it's about being able to manage the ongoing life cycle of those policy and role definitions themselves. So once they've done that, then it's a question of distributing those policy and roles into operation. On the identity management side, this is where the user provisioning occurs to, you know, remediate those access rights and also manage those on an ongoing basis. On the entitlement management side, the ability to associate the context of the business conditions and not only be able to centrally administer those fine-grained entitlements, but also enforce them at a runtime level as well. And finally, the user activity monitoring piece not only is important to deliver key regulatory modules in reporting, that many of our customers ask for this particular piece, but it acts as a critical feedback loop into our overall policy and role modeling up top to begin with. So are users actually using the applications the way that they were expected? You know, are their roles, you know, actually being used as well? So if not, maybe those roles have degraded over time and need to be, you know, revised as a result. So together you have more of a closed loop approach to managing your policy and roles that you've defined. So let's take a look here now as we go into particularly the new role modeling and role management assistants. Before I go into detail into them, I want to reiterate our current identity and access management governance functionality so you can see the scope and breadth of what we offer today. I'm not going to go into detail as much here because I think I want to focus for the most part on these new deliverables. But the role modeling assistant, as you'll see, is focused on helping customers build roles. The role management assistant is focusing on helping customers manage the life cycle of their policy and role definitions. Of course, you know, with TIM, in particular TIM 5.1, we've added some robust operational role management capabilities, particularly with the introduction of role hierarchy. Of course, have some much more ability to not only automatically assign roles, but also request those roles as needed. Certainly, you know, on the Compliance Insight Manager, there's value there in being able to leverage that for, you know, role analysis as customers are looking to find them based on how users are actually using those applications. TSPM providing the fine-grained authorization and entitlement management that many customers seek. On the access certification side, you know, we have substantial value here and within TIM today, and that's really, as you'll find, oftentimes a separate buying occasion for many of our customers who may not even want to embark on user provisioning or role management but want to have some compliance they put in place. And that's something that can be done in TIM and should not be misconstrued that TIM's only used for user provisioning, but actually can establish the ability to reconcile user and entitlement data, be able to establish a recertification policy around that after cleaning it up, and then report on it as well. The separation of duties capabilities, certainly within TIM and 5.1 that we introduced, add both preventative and detective controls and excluding membership at the role level. We offer also some separation of duty and entitlements analyzer that exists on AlphaWorks today to provide more of a specific detective analysis of any role or permission conflicts that exist for our TIM and TAM customers. And then finally, the privilege identity management piece. Certainly, We offer a managed service offering today through our ITD, Integrated Technology Delivery Service in IBM, that leverages both TIM and ESSO for automated check-in and check-out of passwords. You also stay tuned on a Tibley Talk next week. We'll have a service offering that you'll be actually to sell that's not a managed service offering on this as well, so keep an eye out for that. And, of course, Tamos and TSIM for the access control and the user activity monitoring for those privileged users. So, again, just to kind of give you some breadth and scope of where we are. So let's look at this as we map our identity access management governance strategy to the products. I think it's no surprise there that you see identity management, our Tibley Identity Manager, Tibley Security Policy Manager, and our Compliance Insight Manager there in those boxes. And what you'll see here with the role introduction to the Role Modeling Assistant and Role Management Assistant is the ability to add some new and expanded functionality in the areas of role and policy modeling. And, of course, the policy design tool that you see there is something that exists today out on AlphaWorks that ties tightly with our Tibley Security Policy Manager for helping define some of the entitlement policies and translate those from a business perspective. So let's go on to slide 12. Let's take a look at the Role Modeling Assistant. So now, again, this was released 2 weeks ago, and this is really helping customers, notably Tibley Identity Manager customers, define and engineer their roles to begin with. Now, I just want to point out something. There is, customers that already have roles that are out there, in some instances they may have some basic roles, some general roles that they're using today, don't necessarily even need these deliverables. And in fact, they can leverage Tibley Identity Manager for those existing roles that they have today automatically. So keep that in mind and not to automatically just jump to these in the process. Recognize that this is really intended for customers who are looking to build roles and don't have any existing roles in place. So with that said, it's very important as customers look to build roles that they leverage both a bottom-up and top-down approach to gathering the relevant data to create those roles. So let's look at why these are needed. The important thing here is the bottom-up approach gives an identification of what users currently do have, and the top-down approach provides our customers with an idea of what they should have. And the idea here is, look, if you go this bottom-up approach, there's obviously value there, but the point is what happens if you only base it off of this old, maybe entitlement data that applied to providing someone access from two jobs ago, right? So there needs to be that idea of helping identify what users should have. And that's where the top-down comes in place. And so what we offer here with the top-down is the ability to have a line of business questionnaire. Now, this top-down analysis really is a very manual process. It involves either our customers themselves, say a role administrator, or a system integrator with whom they're working, to be interviewing the relevant line of business stakeholders who directly understand the user access requirements that their direct reports have. But as they go through those interviews themselves, what they want to do is to be able to collect the data from those interviews and make sure that can be queried and analyzed against. So we offer the means with which to input that interview into a questionnaire and a template that can be sucked into the Role Modeling Assistant. Now, and that complements the bottom-up inputs, where we will be able to import existing role information and existing identity data, whether it be organizational unit, job code, division, et cetera. And then, of course, entitlement data, making sure that you can get relevant information about their accounts and their groups that may exist on those applications themselves. So as you go on to slide 13, once you've done the data input on both the top-down and bottom-up, it's then going to be a question of making sure that we start to perform some analysis around that information. So in the Role Modeling Assistant, we offer the means with which to perform the role administrator again, or this maybe the system integrator, to be able to perform some data search and analysis and query against the role and identity and entitlement data that's in there that's been collected, whether it be from the top down or bottom up. And the idea here is when they can perform these queries, you can establish filters to identify, are there any commonalities that may exist with users that are in this organizational unit with maybe some of the group membership to groups that they have, which are tied to their entitlements. And if so, that might start to give some indication that there might be a good commonality for a suggested role. In addition, we offer the means with which to leverage our existing, our customers' custom role schema. And what we found when we talked to our customers and that were part of our early access program for building these, they felt that it's very critical in some instances where they have specific attributes that they would like to leverage to define their roles that are very just specific to their business. And we have the means to accommodate that as well as they look to build them. So once they perform that analysis and leverage the different search and queries themselves, then it's going to be a question of beginning to engineer the roles. And in this instance, it's a question of whether being able to define a role, whether it be in a flat structure, meaning not having any associated hierarchy, but as a result, there can also be a hierarchical structure as well. So it's depending upon how they want to define it. And of course, as you define those roles themselves, you can map them. So as you define business roles that may represent collections of users, you can map them to those application or IT roles that represent collections of permissions. And that when together, effectively govern the user access as their customers are seeking. Of course, once they do this, they can either export them directly to the role management assistant to get approval of those roles themselves, or they can export them directly to Tibly Identity Manager for operation. Looking at slide 14, don't have a demo for you today, so just wanted to show you a quick snapshot of a screen to give you an indication of some of the value we offer. So if you're in screen show mode, click down a few times, you'll see a number of red circles that pop up. In the upper left-hand corner, you can see that we offer the ability for customers to work across multiple business units. So they may have multiple projects that they're managing. This also goes in for system integrators to work on different customers as well. On the right, to the right of that in the identity comparison side is where you see, in this instance, the bars there give an indication of commonality across that particular user attribute. Of course, you can set a filter there to define, you only want members with that particular attribute, or you can begin to perform some search queries and filters within that to really start to refine the data set that you've imported. In the lower left, that gives you a role tree view of the existing role hierarchy that you may have imported or that they're actually building. And then on the bottom right, you'll see the role description. So that would be an individual role, in this case a business role description, of the physician role and ultimately being able to associate a version there. And as you can see at the very bottom, being able to define are there any parent roles, ultimately child roles that may be associated with that. Going on to slide 15 now, where the role management assistant takes over is the ability to import the roles that have been defined in the role modeling assistant or even elsewhere from a separate file if the customer is not leveraging a role modeling assistant. And the goal objective here is to establish a means to validate those roles and policies that have been imported. Make sure then you can set up the relevant review and approval of those roles and policies themselves. So in this instance, you have the means with which to establish the relevant identification of who might be the role owner, and as underneath that, there might be a number of role approvers who need to sign off on the overall role package. Because in some instances, you have customers who have a role package that might exist of many different, say, IT roles and business roles that are tied to that. And they may, as a result, have different approvers that they need to get that input in so they have the applicable sign-off before they're released into production. So once you've gathered that initial approval, of course, our customers' businesses themselves don't remain static. We want to put a policy in place that can ensure and capture that, let's review these every 6 months, every year to make sure that the policies and roles that we've defined still accurately apply to the business and user access requirements itself. And so that can be done within the role management system as well. Going on to slide 16 just gives you a quick screenshot of this. And as you'll see in the approval workflow here is the means with which to define, all right, what are the roles and policies we want associated with to get approval for? Who are the approvers that we want to get them from? And you have both the simple and advanced mode here where you might just have one or more approvers, but if you want to have multi-level approvals based, again, on maybe the need for a role package with a specified approval date, you can associate and define those. So going on to slide 17, and I believe this is a new slide for those folks who don't have the latest deck, but really this is just a summary slide, and I think the idea here is that what we recognize is the value of the role modeling and management assistant together can really extend our overall role management value for our Tibley Identity Manager customers. In particular, what we will do is be able to import the data, whether it be from the sources themselves, the applications, the databases, from TIM, you know, or from the line of business managers. Then once you've imported that data, begin to analyze it and ultimately engineer and build those roles that are going to be governing the user access. Then go to and then move it to the role management assistant to approve and certify those roles, and then finally export those roles into TIM for operational usage. So I want to make it very clean and simple here to showcase where this is as where these pieces fit in the value that they provide. So now let's take a look at the packaging, entitlement, and partnering pieces so you kind of have a feel for, you know, who is really eligible for using these and how do they get them and how are they supported. So let's go on to slide 19. In this instance, you know, first of all, who's going to use these? As I mentioned earlier, it's very important that we recognize, all right, first of all, what are our customers' needs in this particular space? But, you know, if they have existing roles and they're leveraging in TIM, they may not need these. Again, this is for customers that are seeking to build new roles and establish lifecycle governance around either the new roles they have or even the existing roles that they do have within TIM. So in that instance, this is going to be focusing on Tibley Identity Manager customers who are entitled to these capabilities. And frankly, the maximum value is really only with version 5.1, because if a customer is looking to develop a hierarchical role structure, that's what 5.1 we introduced with the role hierarchy, is the ability to consume that hierarchical role structure. And of course, we really believe that our system integrators themselves will get tremendous value from these, because it will help them in the process of the services that are often, you know, quite significant or can be as they look to build the roles for the customers themselves. And really, we think these tools will help automate and streamline some of the processes that they would have done manually otherwise. So how do the customers get access to these? Well, we offered both the role modeling and management assistant as part of our early access program, our beta program. And this is not to give an indication that this is actually beta code, but really is more of the venue for delivering access, because we have an excellent support mechanism and direct stream to our subject matter experts, our level 3 support, and frankly the developers who actually developed these tools themselves, who our customers will have access to. So for the role modeling assistant, there's going to be two drops. The first drop that was a couple weeks ago is going to be available only via a managed beta program. And what that means by that is just that if you have an interested customer, refer them to myself, John Baylog, or Luis Casco Arias, and we'll get them set up. But I think it's important that you do a little bit of qualification to understand why it is that they want the role modeling assistant. Of course, the second drop will be available in likely we're targeting mid-November, but don't quote us on that. There's still some pieces that need to be rectified there. But this will also make it part of an open beta program, so you won't need to gather, you know, our approval ahead of time. Now, the role management assistant is actually already available as part of an open beta program, and so TIM customers can access it directly. And for both information to download that the code, you can use the link that you see there on the slide to get access. Now, it's very important to note, and I'll go into this in the roadmap, that we view the role modeling assistant and the role management assistant as future feature sets of a new product that will be separate from TIM. We believe we've introduced these today and are making them available to our Tibley Identity Manager customers because we think that there's immediate value that they can get, and it also provides an opportunity for us to refine and make sure that what we're building is really in line with what they want. So with these deliverables will actually be removed shortly after the GA of the new functionality that ultimately is separate from TIM. So how are these platforms, or how are these products supported? So from a platform standpoint, the role modeling assistant is Windows only because it's an Eclipse-based thick client. The role management assistant will run on Unix, Linux, and Windows. From a target standpoint, we'll have direct linkage into LDAP, Active Directory, and TIM, for this, particularly for the import and export, but also the CSV file. So to accommodate any other application that a customer may want to bring in user and entitlement data, they can leverage the CSV file to accommodate that. And of course, from a customer support standpoint, you know, we have a discussion forum that is extremely actively monitored, again, as I mentioned earlier, by our key subject matter experts in this particular space. They have a direct link to our Level 3 support team, again, who are the developers who built these tools. So, you know, don't, I guess, let customers give an indication or fear that they're really not going to get good support, because frankly, they're getting access to the experts. And of course, as they download the code, there's going to be some documentation available for them as they go through the process of installing and configuring these tools themselves. So let's go on to slide 20. You know, really, I think, how does this impact, how does the introduction of these new role modeling and management assistants impact how we partner with, you know, our technology partners like Avexa or SailPoint or SecureIT? Well, I think it's really important that we recognize, you know, a few things before we do that. We need to partner opportunistically, in other words. So, in particular, first, evaluate the customer relationship. We need to respect existing customer relationships and pursue partnerships, you know, if we're second to the opportunity, right? For example, you know, and certainly we'd recognize that in the process. If SailPoint calls you in, you know, don't start pitching some of these capabilities that would, you know, screw up the opportunity altogether. I mean, it's obvious, but I just want to point that out. Now, for greenfield opportunities, we should pursue our IBM capabilities first. I can't reiterate enough that with TIM 5.1, we can deliver enough quick value immediately, and some of these role management deliverables that we now have really complement its value. Again, there's so much that can be done with 5.1, particularly for customers that already are using roles or, you know, have other desires to maybe establish some access certification policies that may not even be associated with roles in the process. But, you know, and when you start to encounter distinct function gaps, then it might be time to look to partner, and I'll get to those function gaps in a minute. But, you know, I think, again, respect the existing relationships, pursue IBM opportunities, pursue IBM technology first when you're first to the opportunity in particular, and then when you really get pinned on distinct function gaps, you know, then we can look to partner. And again, I'll mention those function gaps here in a minute. The second thing that's very important, this is not just about role management. It's important to broaden the discussion. Okay, this is about delivering an identity and access management governance vision and strategy. So look to what our capabilities are around role management, because it is a fundamental piece within identity and access management governance, as we showed earlier. You know, for customers that already have roles, leverage TIM 5.1. The customers that need to build them, leverage the tools we just talked about. Leverage TSPM for entitlement management. Leverage TIM for access certification and separation of duties. You know, leverage TAMOS and TSIM for privileged identity management. As I mentioned, stay tuned next week. You know, we have a new shared ID offering that's going to be announced in a Tivoli talk. The other thing that's very important is really look to the customer maturity. You know, role management in particular, and even identity access management governance for that matter, is something that's still emerging. And that and our customers may be asking for all this stuff because they hear that's what's the buzz in the market, but do they really need it? So it's really important that we recognize, you know, what is it that they want, and really advise them on what we can provide with quick value, but yet with strategic direction. As they look and need some advanced functionality, you know, whether it be, you know, getting some automated mining, for example, you know, they may not need that from the outset. And I think that's important to recognize as you go into these opportunities. So in terms of those function gaps that I mentioned earlier, if they're really getting pressed, there are three function gaps in particular that we still have gaps in that we would recommend partnering with some of our partners that offer these capabilities. Role mining. You know, we offer a manual means of role analysis within the actual role modeling tool, and there's tremendous value that can be had there. The mining is an automated means for suggesting candidate roles. That is, you know, frankly, there's value in it, yes, but it's an advanced capability that if customers are really pressed on it, you know, they can get this, you know, either via partners, and it is something that, as you can see there, will actually be coming soon. We're thinking of incorporating into the role modeling assistant as well, because we have some research in this particular area that we're delivering right now. And then, of course, compliance dashboard and risk scoring. So they're looking for more of an advanced, you know, compliance dashboard to review, be able to associate some notion of risk scores, which is a very advanced means. That might be an area where you partner with, say, for a SailPoint or an Avexa. So let's go on to the next slide and look at, from a roadmap standpoint, you know, how this all falls together. Going on to slide 22, again, I think what we're recognizing here is we map our products to these particular spaces. Up top, the role modeling and role management assistance, again, as I mentioned, will be future feature sets of a new product to be announced next year that will be separate from TIM. But they're not the only capabilities that we're going to be introducing in this new product. We're going to be introducing policy modeling and lifecycle management. We're going to be introducing and productizing some role mining capability and then enhancing some of our user entitlement data cleanup that's really vital to the process of defining roles as well. On the identity management side, you know, we're going to be making enhancements in TIM in a fashion where this will be in parallel with this new product so that we have tighter TIM and TSPM integration so that you can have that full-blown automation and association of an entitlement policy to the roles that have been assigned users. We'll be adding some capabilities, as you'll see, in a new product around privileged identity management. As customers look to manage those shared IDs or those non-personal accounts. We'll also be looking to enhance some of our capabilities in and around service management, some delegation, and some other things that we're still looking at as we are finalizing our TIM plan. On the entitlement management side, I talked about the TIM and TSPM integration. There's going to be a new release of TSPM, I think, in the first half of next year that will also be expanding particularly our data level entitlement management. So as they look to manage enterprise content management systems, databases, you know, like DB2 and FileNet, for example, and expanding our support capabilities there. And then finally, user activity monitoring. As I mentioned, be able to not only have the notion of, log collection of the event sources on these different pieces, but making sure that there's some actionable reporting so that you can have integrated suspension of access. So that gives you a high-level summary of what we see and how we see these pieces pulling together. As you go on to the next slide, I think you know the three things that we should look at in terms of a call to action here. With these new capabilities, you know, be extremely confident in what we can offer, not only because, one, we already know what exists within 5.1 today is very robust, but even so, for customers that want to build new roles and manage a lifecycle around their definition, they can leverage these new tools we've talked about. So inform all of your TIM customers about this new functionality. Use this as an excuse to get a new meeting with them. And also provide an opportunity to sell, because this is delivered through TIM 5.1, accelerate your TIM 5.1 upgrades and expand the existing usage of TIM to cover more targets. You know, I think that's where customers are really looking to the value of role management, is because you can reduce the number of objects that are needed to administer user access through roles. It should improve the visibility and the means with which to manage multiple targets. So they should really help expand the existing TIM engagements that are out there. And really, if there's new targets, and if it's a new application and host adapters, those are revenue opportunities that you can leverage through TIM. And then finally, leverage these as a means to showcase our overall identity and access management governance vision. You know, show them this is going to be upcoming content, you know, particularly to white space customers as they look and they are curious about what we're doing in the space. You know, a lot of our competitors have acquired in this particular space and are still going through the process of integrating a lot of those acquisitions. You know, we're building this within our own code base, and so it's going to be tightly integrated from the get-go. So with that, I want to pause now and turn it back over to the operator, Tim, here, and open it up for questions.
Certainly. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. Please state your name slowly and clearly. Once again, star 1 to ask a question. One moment, please.
Come on, guys. No questions. I know this is stuff that many are dying to hear. I was in Europe last week, and we had a tremendous amount of interest from customers. Is there any questions out there, or was the presentation that good?
We do have one question. Donald Nitel, your line is open.
Hi, this is Don, and I guess general question for you, and I lead the services for actually ISS, and we do a lot of Tivoli consulting. Is there going to be kind of a best practices roadmap for, you know, designing this, doing this, executing this? I know in the past we've worked with companies like EurekaFi and some of the other competitors that you mentioned that have gotten sucked up. And I'm just curious, as this product matures, what's going to be kind of the best practices roadmap for, you know, doing the actual project with clients, and how will we build this into an engagement? Should it be, you know, in the beginning of an IAM lifecycle implementation, or more when they're a mature client and we go back and go talk to them about here's additional things they can do around role mining and then obviously setting up roles?
Yeah, no, a good question, Don. I think so. A couple comments you made there. First of all, it's going to vary from customer to customer in terms of, you know, where they are in their maturity cycle in terms of their overall identity and access management infrastructure. You know, in some instances, you know, customers, you know, that don't, you know, maybe that there's, they're going to be targeting a business unit that they want to just start with roles to begin with and want to go directly to it. And in which case, you know, they can leverage these to build those roles and to manage the life cycle for them. But in other instances, there may be, you know, they have a number of legacy applications and they have existing roles and that they may want to leverage and they may not be ready for it. So the idea here is that we will be having some best practices capabilities. We have, in particular, going to have a wiki that's going to be available to our business partners and internal IBMers who are deploying these tools. And again, just to emphasize, these aren't going to be, they will be a GA product in second half of next year, but to begin with, you know, arguably be entitled just for TIM customers. But this best practices wiki is something that we're in the process of defining right now, so that not only will you have some means to understand, you know, installation and configuration, but giving guidance on how these can be leveraged in the process. I know David and Todd, have David Kerr McLaren and Todd Jordan, some of our developers on these particular items, have joined the call to help answer questions. David and Todd, if you have other comments there in respect to John's question, you know, please chime in as well. Okay. Don, does that help?
It helps. I mean, I'd like to make sure we understand, my question is kind of multifold. Is one, when do we go talk to clients about this? Where should they be in the maturity of their IAM implementation? And then B, you know, if we sell them on doing something, what's the consultative services engagement to go make them effective? And obviously we want to partner with Tivoli because...
Yeah, and Don, I want to have a separate call with you on this very topic because I think we want to make sure these can get included in what you guys are doing. But for the maturity piece, first of all, go talk to them about these pieces today. In terms of, you know, it's very important that they recognize that these capabilities are available. But it's really going to depend from one customer to the next on whether or not they're ready to adopt them. And what I mean by that is some instances, customers who may, let's say, just have gotten password management set up for some of their applications, you know, or maybe just are leveraging a little bit of user provisioning, but, you know, aren't ready for full-blown automation of roles, you know, these might be before their time. But so, you know, I think that's where there absolutely is a consultative engagement to identify, you know, what are the business drivers for these capabilities. And frankly, when we look at role management, there are two in particular. The first is compliance, making sure that there is a means with which to have a broader, more visible object, i.e. a role, to govern user access, and that one that can be signed off on and visible to the auditors to know that this is stipulating user access and that there's an automated process for certifying that access. Okay? The second piece is going to really be focused on automation. And really here is, with roles themselves, you can reduce the number of objects that, you know, the IT itself has to administer. And so as you define a role structure, as it becomes, you know, refined based on going back and forth, which the initial role definition process is very heavily services focused, as you define those roles, it's a question of making sure then all of a sudden once those users get assigned to them, it eliminates a tremendous amount of manual process that's required in the back end to, you know, give that access otherwise. So those tips with the compliance and the automation typically are the major drivers. And it just goes back to whether the customer's environment's ready for it. And that's really going to be on our side, not only from a sales perspective, but on the services side to evaluate, you know, where are they in their maturity curve to determine what they can use in the process.
Yeah, so I agree with everything you just said. And probably what we need to do is I'm going to send this presentation. I'll copy you
okay.
to several people, and we probably need to see, you know, where we take this. Because, I mean, I think it could be, you know, a big services offering for us.
Oh, it's huge. I can't tell you enough. I mean, because we've been working with folks on the GBS side, Phil Jones, for example, and then, you know, a number of other system integrators, you know, whether it be regional system integrators or global system integrators. I mean, this role management piece of business is a tremendous service opportunity.
Yeah, agree.
So absolutely would like to follow up with you on this.
Yeah, so, okay, we'll take it offline.
Okay. Other questions?
Yes, we do have another. David Kerr McLaren, I'll open your line.
Sorry about that, Rick. I was trying to figure out how to be in to help answer questions.
Yeah, sorry, David and Todd. So, Tim, if you can include David Kerr McLaren and Todd Jordans and make sure they're part of the open lines because they're helping answer questions as well.
Certainly. Give me just a moment to do that.
And, David, feel free now that you've got it if you want to add in otherwise.
Actually, David, if you could hold for just a second. Okay, David, your line is now open.
Great, thanks.
I need to find Todd.
So, sorry to interrupt the rest of the flow of the questions.
No problem.
I'm sorry, you said Todd Jordan?
Todd Jordan, yes.
Okay. Todd, your line is now open.
Hi, this is Todd. I guess you can hear me now.
Thanks, Todd. Other questions that are out there?
Okay, and we do have another question in the queue. This comes from Svet.
Hey, Rick. Svet Lozanov here.
Hi, Svet.
Just want to replay thing kind of from an end-user perspective. So we've got a customer that, let's say, is current on 5.1, and they're looking at role management and modeling for, let's say, compliance reasons, and we'll point them to the beta, hopefully the two betas when they're all open. At that point, they do not have option to do 1-800 calls, just forum. I actually didn't see a link to a forum. If you can send this, that would be great. A year from now, are they looking into buying new licenses for the so-called IBM Tivoli new product, or will there be some kind of an upgrade to Team 5 next? Or
well, so this isn't going to be good question, Svet. So everything you just set up to then is correct. I would just before I get into the entitlement side, the support. You're right. It's a discussion forum, but mind you, it's something that's very actively monitored by our development teams. David and Todd themselves are reviewing these, you know, and so the link itself is actually, once they become part of the beta program, they'll be given access to our QuickPlace forum. So as part of the registration process, they'll be given that link to the Level 3 support, and if they have questions or problems, they submit it, and then you'll, you know, be able to get a response. You know, it's usually, you know, give or take, you know, within 24 hours, but that's a business hour, you know, not necessarily over the weekends. But, yes, it won't be a direct 800 number. Now, in terms of entitlement, so you are correct in that we expect this to be a separate product from TIM. So in that sense, it will either, yes, it would be a separate part number or PID for which we will charge customers money for. Now, that said, we will also offer, mind you, some very attractive pricing to our existing TIM customers as part of an upgrade. And then if, as a salesperson, if I'm in your shoes, you know, and I have customers participating in this, I would give them the sense of comfort to know that you also plan on making it worth their while from a, you know, in a discount perspective. I know it's your own commission, but in terms of being able to get access to this in the future as well, you know, at a favorable light. We're also looking at how this might tie into our overall solution bundle, because I think we think there's likely going to be a identity and access management governance solution bundle that would incorporate TIM, TSPM, TSIAM, and this new product. But then they also want to see how that fits into our overall Tivoli Identity and Access Assurance bundle. So there's still some pieces that need to be worked out there. But I can assure you there's going to be attractive pricing to our TIM customers that participate in these betas. Does that help, Spet?
Yeah, it helps. I know how customers are, and generally it takes a bit for them to jump into a beta and educate their people and get a box to install that thing. And 6 months down the road, it's probably the first time they'll see value, and that's the time we'll say, okay, now we're pulling this thing out.
No, understood. And it's important that we are open and upfront with them about our intentions to begin with. But I think the reason that we're doing this instead of 3 months before GA is that we really do believe that these provide value and can provide value to our customers and system integrators today. And so as a result, we wanted to get this out there and let them use it. And so I recognize that. I think the other thing that's very important to point out that I didn't mention, if you look at successful, and Don, this goes back to the services side, if you go look at successful role management products today, they are not pursued in a mass fashion. And what I mean by that is they're typically going to look at a particular business unit first, or maybe a set of critical applications, maybe some SOX applications that they want to originally do this on. And if that's the case, there's a means with which they can focus and leverage these tools where you don't have to worry about these being production tools, but you can use them as a means to help define the roles themselves. I mean, I think that's the other piece here is that the role modeling and management assistants, it's not governing access in production, right? These are non-production assets that can be leveraged to streamline the definition of their roles and to manage the ongoing lifecycle management of those roles. So, as you talk to customers, the sensitivity around betas exists, but I think it even exists more so in an operational setting than it does in a non-production setting.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Other questions?
Yes, Don Neidel, I'll open your line again.
Hey, Don.
Don, your line is open.
Yeah, sorry. I was on mute. Hey, guys, you don't have your names on the presentation. I wanted to copy the three people that you mentioned. Can you either same time me or can you just give me your short names and I'll include you? I'm going to send this to about six people on my team and ask them to look at this pretty closely.
Sure, Don. Actually, I'll ping you, Don.
Yeah, it's Don Neitel, K-N-E-I-T-E-L.
Okay.
Yeah, if you could ping me with the names, I'll include you on it. Okay.
Certainly.
Thanks.
We have no other questions in queue.
All right. Well, if there are questions at Surface in the meantime, feel free to reach out. My contact information is in, I think, slide 19 of the deck, along with either John Balog or Luis Casco-Arias. Good luck selling in Q4, and let us know where we can support you. Thanks for your time, everyone.